Window's not over. I see white stuff on the ground, so. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today, my title is God Commands the Blessing. God Commands the Blessing, and you can show me the 1 Kings chapter 17. This is going to be the story of Elijah and the widow. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 17. All right, so 1 Kings 17, starting at verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan River. So after Elijah tells Ahab that there's going to be no rain, this is interesting because in verse 3, God's telling Elijah to go hide. You would think, well, it's God, the creator of the universe. You know, why would he tell Elijah to go hide? But I think that's important because, for one, it's just he has to obey God. But there are times, you know, you hear about like when the Holocaust happened, you know, Jews, you know, there were people that were hiding Jews, you know, because of persecution. So there are times when Christians have to hide, you know. Verse 4. "You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to sustain you there with food." So God told Elijah, he commanded him to go to the river, and now God is commanding ravens to feed him. So verse 5, "So he went and did in accordance with the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook." So twice a day, the ravens brought Elijah food. You know, I was kind of thinking about this, you know, like, what if, you know, I don't know how, if they just had this instinct, you know, God just put this instinct in the ravens to do this, or if, like, God sent an angel to the ravens. Well, I could just imagine, you know, kind of a funny thought here, like, if an angel went to the ravens and told one of the ravens, like, "You guys are supposed to go feed Elijah," and the ravens are like, "I don't think I will," and then the angel, you know, kills the raven, and the other raven's seen like, "Okay, we'll do it," and like, not only do they do it in the morning, but they're like, "I'm going to double make sure that I do what God says," and so they feed them twice a day. But there again, you know, that may have been you know, what they were told to do anyways, but I just thought that was interesting, you know, twice a day, they bring him food. All right, so verse 7, "It happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land." So I thought this was also interesting because it wasn't like God told Elijah to go hide by this brook. And yet, even though God did that, he didn't just miraculously keep this brook flowing of water, you know. The brook dried up. And that kind of shows you that, you know, it was basically a natural thing that was happening to the earth at the time with no rain. And us as Christians, we go through the same natural disasters that other people in the world go through, you know. So Elijah wasn't spared from this just because, you know, he was a prophet of God. So verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" So before Elijah even went to there, God commanded this widow to provide for him. So verse 10, "So he set out and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of this city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks for firewood. He called out to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink.' As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand.' But she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. See, I am gathering a few sticks so that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it as our last meal and die.' Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Just make me a little bread from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. It's amazing because, I mean, we already, you know, if you read the story, you know how this is going to go. But right there, that almost seems pretty harsh. Like, here it is, a prophet of God. And, you know, he asked the lady for some bread and water. And she's like, well, I have just a little bit I was going to make for me and my son. And then after that, we're going to die. And he's like, well, that's fine, but give it to me first. You know, that seems, you know, you would think, well, he would have compassion and be like, oh, well, okay, well, you don't worry about it. You know, I'll go to somebody else. But yeah, this is where the blessing comes in. And this is what God was showing me. Like, you know, this kind of goes along with like tithes and stuff. If there's a need that you have in your life, like she had this need, like I'm about, you know, ready to die because I don't have much food left. Well, so the first thing that she has to do is give it to God, which Elijah represented, the prophet of God. That doesn't mean you have to give it to the church, you know, but it's like if there's a need in your life, the first thing you need to do is give it to God. And then you watch the blessing that he comes out and does. And not only that, sometimes if this woman didn't obey the prophet of Elijah, then what would have happened? You know, she and her son would have died. So also, we need to allow God to use us to be a blessing to someone else. You know, someone may come along the way that has a need. Like Elijah had a need here. You know, he was hungry. You know, he had been traveling for however long. He hadn't probably ate since he left the brook. And he was thirsty because he hadn't probably drank since he left the brook either. So he was thirsty and hungry. So he had a need. And, you know, but the lady had a need too. Yet out of her need, you know, she gave to Elijah first. And because of that, the blessing came. So sometimes somebody may come along our path. You know, we may have a need of something, and God's going to send someone along our path that has that same need that we have. And yet if we give to them, then our need's going to be fulfilled. So that's how God commands this blessing. So verse 14, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain again on the face of the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, in accordance with the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. It happened. So at that, she obeyed, you know, the word of the Lord from Elijah. And because of that, you know, what God said would happen exactly happened. You know, the oil did not run out. So then we go on to verse 17, and this is what's interesting. So verse 17 says, it happened after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And it made me think, you know, she just got done seeing a miracle of the Lord performed, you know. I mean, could you imagine that? All of a sudden, you don't run out of flour and oil because you obeyed God. And you think, man, this is awesome. I'm in the middle of this drought, and God's supplying my needs. But then what does the devil do? He comes immediately and attacks her, and it basically attacks the son with sickness that he dies, you know. So then verse 18, so she said to Elijah, what problem is there between you and me, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to mind and to put my son to death? You know, I think she felt like God was punishing her for her sins, and that's where the devil likes to get it. Have you ever, like, you know, put your, you know, you accuse your own self, you put yourself down, well, I must be suffering this because God's punishing me, but it's never that. It's the devil. So 19, he said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her arms and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you brought further tragedy to the widow with whom I am staying because by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the lower part of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. So this is amazing because it's like even though she had seen the miracle of the oil and the flour not running out, she still, there were, apparently there was still doubt in her heart. And it wasn't until her son was revived from the dead that she truly believed. And I think about that, and have you ever had a need and God actually supplies it, and then time goes on and other things happen, you're like, well, was that word of God? You know, it's like you got to have that faith, that unwavering, there's no doubt in your heart that it's God that supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. And so this is what I want to encourage you today, is that God commands the blessing that if there's anything that you have needed in your life, you got to give it first to God and then just watch him bless you. So be expecting that, you know, a lot of times, you know, again, it can be any type of need that you have. It's easy to think of financial needs, you know, well, if you need money, well, then give it to God, you know, and then watch him bless it. But that can be anything. If you need healing, sometimes you got to pray for other people. You know, if you know somebody else is going through it, then you pray for other people. But that's what I encourage you today, is that if there's any need in your life that you have, give it to God first, because he commands a blessing. Just watch him supply your need. So.
Amen. How's everybody doing today? It's good to see everybody. Today I'm going to talk about peace. It is the next fruit of the Spirit. And I want to share. So yesterday, actually, let me start at a different section. So Michael has been going to this thing called Christ Coffee Campfire. And it is the third week of every month, I think. And it's the third Saturday. And what they do is a bunch of guys get together and someone shares a testimony and they talk about what God's done in their lives. And it's very unconventional. It's not like a normal thing that that we would imagine church as. It's just a bunch of blue-collar guys who few of them really got on fire for God, and they felt like they just needed to reach out to other men. And so it's only guys, and they, some of them bring their sons, and that's it, only guys. And they're free to just be guys. You know, I'm saying that because, you know, a lot of us women, we hold a different standard. And so when guys are around, they have to be different around women. But when it's just guys, they can just relax and, you know, I'm not even going to go into what they do, but if you're a woman, you know. Okay, so Michael first started going to this several months ago, he said last September. And when he first went, you know, I told you about how awesome it was. Like, he came in the door when he returned home, and I could feel the presence of the Lord when he came in the door. I was like, wow, I don't know where you've been, but that is awesome. And at the moment, at the time, I thought, boy, it would be cool if they had something like that for women. And I just kept that in my heart. And then at some point, I think I mentioned it to Michael later on. Well, a few weeks ago, one of the ladies decided that she was going to do that. And so when Michael went to this last one, they announced that one of the ladies was putting it on. And it was going to be, instead of out in the wild where the guys are and they can use porta potties and all that, it was actually going to be on a church parking lot in a garage. So we had actually had real bathrooms. So that was a little funny. But she had last year felt like God put that on her heart, but things just kept happening and she kept delaying it. And finally she was like, okay, we're doing this. And it turns out that the day that Michael went, her husband actually gave his testimony. And then yesterday when I went, she gave her testimony. So I got to hear both of them because I watched theirs on the internet. So it was so neat the way that they just, all these women, none of us knew each other except for our husbands go to Christ Coffee Campfire. That's the only way we knew each other. And so it was just, we just got to talk to, you know, how it's going and how it's affecting our husbands. And it was just really neat. So I wanted to share this little section that she said at the very beginning, because It was so neat, and I felt like it just went along with this Fruit of the Spirit series. So she said, you know, we're all cups, and we are all filled with something. And when someone bumps into a cup and it's full, it overflows. And so when you encounter different people in your life and they bump into you, you're going to overflow with something. And whatever your cup is full of is what you're going to overflow. So if you're full of unforgiveness or bitterness or pride or selfishness, that's going to overflow. But God wants us to be full of the fruit of the Spirit, so that when someone bumps us, when we come into contact with people, we spill out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, so that whatever we're spilling over is what God wants us to spill. And so I just thought that was neat how she mentioned that. And I said, I was thinking to myself, I've got to say that to everyone tomorrow, because it was just impacted me so much that we are all full of something. And it's whatever is inside of us is what we're going to give out, whether we want that to get out or not. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read different statements and questions we say when we want or long for peace. And what happens is we have the peace of God in us, but the devil will do whatever he can to steal that peace. So we have different things that affect our souls and different things that affect our bodies, meaning the outside influences and the inner influences that affect how you react and how the peace of God is flowing through you. Because you can actually stop the fruit of the Spirit from coming out of you if you have other things blocking it, right? So these are different statements and questions that we say when we want or we really need peace. So we say things like, when is this going to end? I am so tired of dealing with this over and over again. Why doesn't this person or these people just leave me alone? Why doesn't God change these people? Or why doesn't God change this situation? Why does this keep happening to me? I just need space. This is so frustrating. I am stressed out. I am done. I am tired of fighting. Any of those phrases you've probably used, right? I know that I wrote these down because these are things that I myself have said at one time or another. Sometimes, like, I would write in my journals and there would just be pages where I was so frustrated with situations that I would fill my pages with words like that. I would be so frustrated at different people or how something was getting handled that I would just fill these pages and think, God, why isn't this changing? Why isn't this stopping? You know? And so there have been, and I'm going to talk about some of the stuff I went through when I was younger, and even things that carried over into when Michael and I were first married. So there have been times in my life where I felt like I was having a nervous breakdown, but I was so scared to tell anyone because I was afraid they would say, well, then what sin are you in? What are you doing wrong? It's your own fault you have no peace right now. You don't have peace because you are living in sin. And a lot of that came from the way that I grew up, and this wasn't the right perception, but it was what developed in me, was I determined how God loved me based on my performance for Him. Because I determined how people loved me based on my performance for them. And so that's how I saw things. It was not the right perception. It was just a lie of the enemy. So I thought that those things based on how I thought those things based on how I had heard other Christians judge people. So I assumed they would judge me without actually listening to my struggles and wanting to help me. So I did that on my own. I assumed those things, and who knows, you know, maybe it was the devil just influencing me in the wrong way. Or maybe someone sowed that into me and I just was, that was the reaping of the consequences of hearing that. But I was wrong. That was a lie of the enemy. As soon as I was courageous enough to ask for help and talk to people who cared about me, the more easily it became to keep asking for help. The first time that you confess to another believer whatever you are going through, it can be difficult, but it is 100% necessary. You may even think, after you've told somebody what's on your heart, you may even think, why did I tell that person that? And you may regret even saying anything. You may be like, oh, I just shared my heart, and who knows what that person's going to do with it, you know? So you may think, oh, that was a bad decision. But we do that because we need God's peace in our lives, and we need God's people to help us. Amen? We need to be there for each other. So I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to go back and forth between 5 and 6. I'm going to use the King James mostly, but I'm going to use a little bit of the New Living as well. So Galatians chapter 6, just the first verse. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And in the New Living Translation, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So this is really important that, you know, my perception of how people would help me and how they would react to what I was going through was not right, because I thought, well, they're going to judge what I'm doing and they're not going to really understand. And what was missing was, you know, like I was watching how other people were dealt with. But one time I had a situation in my life as a teenager where I was dealt with, and the amazing thing about it was the person that talked to me didn't just, like, they confronted me, and I knew I was wrong, and I admitted it, but instead of, like, there's no hope, you know, you're lost forever, you're a teenager, it's, nothing's good gonna happen, instead they just encouraged me that there was hope, that God's going to take care of you the rest of your life. This is just a little bump in the road. Don't worry about it. And so I was encouraged that, wow, okay, so I can pour out my heart, and there are people who do care about me, and there are people who will encourage me. And it's not like, you know, you're just going to get punished for that wrongdoing, you know? And a lot of that's because when you're little, and you're a little kid, you do get punished for wrongdoing. That's just the boundaries that your parents have placed on your life. You did something wrong, so you get punished. That we do that for Mandy. But at the same time, the important thing to know is God has grace and mercy. So we have to understand that we too, all of us make mistakes. So we can't, when someone tells us what they are going through or the mistakes that they're making, we can't just be like, oh, well, they're never going to change because what about us, you know? So you can just write this down. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Greek word for faults in this is paraptoma, which means a falling away, a lapse, a slip, a trespass, a sin. So that describes every area of our lives that we let our flesh take over. It is in this war with our flesh that we can end up feeling like there is just no peace. Like it is just not changing. It also makes clear that we need to communicate effectively with trusted believers the struggles that we are going through. We need to, right? We can only truly help each other when we truly love each other. That is why over and over again, God says all throughout the Bible that we love God and we love one another. Over and over again. right? That's why it's the greatest commandment. Love God, love one another. When we try to take on all of these battles on ourselves and think that we can do it alone, it ends up destroying our homes. It ends up destroying our relationships and even just our day-to-day happiness. It destroys even the little things. The other way our peace is robbed from us can be from outside influences, like stress, chaos, division caused by different things that are going on in your life, stress that comes from work, parents, spouses, even our children, anything that's outside influences. Our normal day-to-day responsibilities, they're fine when we can handle them, right? They're easy when we can just do our day-to-day stuff. When we can go to work, take care of our children, talk to our spouses, whatever it is, it's easy when nothing happens. But when a ringer gets thrown in, when something unexpected happens, like you get sick, you lose your job, you lose a family member, you get in some type of accident, you have to work late 2 days in a row or 10 days in a row, your kids are doing bad in school or in their classes, they get a fight at school, your friends are suddenly mad at you for no reason, you get into a no reason fight with your spouse and you suddenly get stressed out and you feel like, what is going on? Where is my peace? These are the outside influences that impact us a lot, right? And it's like everything is going fine and then something happens and it's like, what just happened, right? So I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. And this just talks about the battle that we go through. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And what this means is, it's not like you don't have freedom, because in Jesus there is freedom. But because we live in a body that is subject to the rules of this world, our bodies get decrepit sometimes, right? Because there are people around us who are not serving God. There are people around us who don't like us sometimes, and that causes stress and chaos in our lives, right? It means that we don't always have the freedom to carry out the best, the good intentions of who we are, right? So it means, yes, we want good things all the time, and we want to do good things all the time. But because there's all of these evil influences in our lives, we don't have the freedom to always have our lives perfect. We're not at that level yet. Until we are in our glorified bodies with Jesus Christ, we are never going to be completely free of what we are going through in this world, right? And then skip down to verses 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So when these situations happen in our lives, when we're going through different things, when we're wrestling with some kind of sin in our lives, or we're wrestling with a stressful situation or anything along those lines, it is our responsibility to take those things that are affecting our flesh and body and our soul and actually nail them to the cross. Meaning we have to make an effort to surrender those things to Jesus every single time they come against us. It doesn't mean that, well, this situation, God, I can handle, and this situation I can handle, but God, you need to do this situation. No, God wants to take care of all of the situations that you're going through in life. You must give them all to him, because struggles start out small. Temptations start out as a temptation. They don't become sin until you put action to it. And so you have to make that choice. I'm going to not do this. I'm going to give this temptation to the Lord. I'm going to give this sin to the Lord. I'm not going to, I know I can't do this on my own. I can't wrestle with this sinful nature any longer. I can't wrestle with these people any longer that are causing me stress. I need to give it to the Lord. And you have to, you yourself, each one of you has to make that effort to take that thing, whatever it is in your life, and nail it to the cross. Amen? Okay, so I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read some of my notes. So the devil, he does not play fair. He waits until you are going through something before he lays on the chaos. At this point, you have two choices. You can believe the enemy that you can't make it through, or you can believe in Jesus who will carry you through. Amen? Every trial and every tribulation in your life, I can't say that they aren't going to come, but I can say that because you are a Christian, you have a special ability. You have the supernatural power of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So things that you go through, God knew in your life many years ago that you would need him to make it through this situation. And so he started working on your heart many years ago. Whether you were a child or an adult, God started preparing your heart for what you were going to go through because he knew that you wouldn't make it without him. God knows every situation that you're going through. You have to trust him. Amen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and his peace is in your spirit. Peace in Webster's, it means a state of quiet or tranquility. But we as Christians, we know peace as the inner calm, the contentment, the harmony that's inside of you based on the knowledge that you are in a right relationship with God and that he is in control no matter what chaos or tribulations or trials you're going through. Amen. It is amazing the peace of God. When you experience any kind of tribulation, you know, you have your family in trouble and things seem hard and harsh, and you have this inner calm inside of you that nobody else understands because you have Jesus on the inside of you. Everybody else is freaking out. They don't know what's going on. But you have Jesus on the inside of you. And it affects your life immensely. And you can tell when Christians who truly rely on the Lord, when they have given their lives to the Lord 100%, you can tell how they react to different things. And you can tell Christians who are new Christians, who are still learning how to give those things to Jesus, their spiritual maturity is based on the fruit of their reaction to things. You can tell how close they are to the Lord based on how they react, right? Okay, so Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read, I'm going to start at verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So I'm going to read some scripture, quite a bit of verses in the Bible that just prove that peace comes from God. And you need that peace in your life. Amen. Psalm 4 verses 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And I thought that was interesting how it separated. It's not like he's saying, I will both lay me down to sleep or in peace to sleep. He separates those. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. And I know for me, you know, have you ever, like, when you're laying down at night and everything that you're going through suddenly comes to your mind? It's all quiet. Everybody's sleeping. And all of these worries and these cares and these troubles start flooding your mind. And you're like, I just want to sleep. And so David says, not only do I receive the peace of God, but I also can sleep. And so that is really important. It's not like you're just laying down to sleep. You need the peace of God to quiet your mind, to let that inner calm control all of those thoughts that are trying to affect you. And the rest of it says, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So that is a promise. God blesses us with peace. So when the devil is doing everything against you to cause all chaos in your life, you tell him the Lord blesses his people with peace, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives in me, and I have the peace of God. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That one is huge. It's huge. And I say that because have any of you gone this week without being offended by one thing? Probably not. Maybe some of you have. But that's our life. We get offended, but when we love the Word, when we love Jesus, he actually puts that in us that we aren't offended by things anymore. Things that used to offend us, things that used to hurt us, things that used to affect us in a bad manner, they don't offend us anymore. Because the great peace of God is inside of us. Amen? Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And just like I read in Philippians, you have to choose to keep your mind, like it says, fix your thoughts on what is true. You have to make that choice that when that thought comes in your mind that is not right, that thought that says, you're not going to make it, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, you might as well give up, nobody is concerned with all of your troubles, you might as well just move away. That's the devil's lies to you. He will do whatever he can to tell you lies. You have to fix your thoughts on what is true. You have to do that. Amen? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be assured in yourself that you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you are assured of that, you know that you are right in your relationship with the Lord, and that gives you inner peace for whatever the devil is coming against you with. Amen? John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is where we have to really trust in the Lord, that when things in our lives are going wrong, Jesus fights our battles. Jesus died on the cross to overcome the world. And so when things are coming against us, we have to trust that he has overcome the world. It's not anything that we've done. It's not anything, you know, that we did especially for ourselves that we could somehow overcome the world. Jesus did that for us. Our job is to trust in him. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. James 3:18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Proverbs 12:20, Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. I want to leave you with that verse because you have to know, number one, who is God in your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If God, if he is number one in your life, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. So when that trial that you're going through, whatever you're going through in your mind right now, whatever you're going through in your heart, in your life, any of those things that you're going through, those tribulations, if somebody has said something to you that has hurt you, any of those things, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. God will destroy the lies and the works of the enemy in your life. Amen. You have to believe that he is going to do that for you, right? Okay, you can go ahead and stand. And I just want to encourage you. Sometimes God is working in your life, and it may not feel like he's working. It may seem like nothing is changing and nothing is going on. And you may think, God, I have prayed about this, and I have prayed about this, and I have prayed about these people, and I have prayed about this situation, and nothing is changing. But I 100% believe that when, just like the song says, when we don't see it, God is still working. We have to believe in him. Amen. The only thing that we have to do is choose to have faith, right? We don't always understand, and we cannot see in the spiritual realm what is going on all of the time. But God knows, and he is working on your behalf. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. You are the God of peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and you rule and you reign in our hearts. Jesus, we surrender everything to you. Every trial that we're going through, God, any sin that is in us, we choose to take that sin and nail it to the cross. Any shortcomings, Father, any faults, God, anything in our lives that are against you, God, even thoughts that are against you, God, we take our thoughts captive and we nail them to the cross. Jesus, have your way in us. Change us from the inside out. We need you desperately in every situation in our lives, God. We need you for our families. We need you for our jobs, God. We need you in our lives. Lord, there are people here today, God, that don't even want to talk about the struggles that they are going through. There are things in their hearts that they don't even want to talk to people about because it hurts too much. So God, I just lift up each and every one of them to you. Holy Spirit, heal the hurts that they are going through. Provide for them the family and the friends, the godly people in their lives to reach out to them, to give them a person to confide in. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Amen. You are dismissed.